First, let's take a look at our headlines for this hour.
Cuban president visits four eastern provinces.
Iran warns of all-out war if attacked by U.S. and allies.
Report on impact of U.S. blockade on Cuba will be released on Friday.
Another opposition party joins talks with Venezuelan government.
And now the news in detail.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel continued his tour of provinces on Wednesday to oversee the implementation of measures to mitigate the effects of the energy difficulties in the country, deriving from the increased U.S. hostility against the island. On Wednesday, the Cuban head of state visited the provinces of Guantanamo, Santiago de Cuba, Granma, and Holguín, where he met with local Communist Party and government officials. In Guantanamo, Díaz-Canel highlighted some of the measures adopted in the province, which he said will be shared with other provinces. Among them are the priority given to the construction of housing in places where there are resources to continue that program, the expansion of filters to reduce fuel consumption, and wells for storing water. Meanwhile, in Santiago de Cuba, Díaz-Canel reviewed the measures undertaken to save energy. He was told that the province has managed to save from 9 to 5 megawatts per hour during peak hours. At the same time, efforts are being made to produce food with a minimal consumption of diesel fuel.
Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif warned on Thursday that any attack on the Islamic Republic would lead to an all-out war. Zarif made the comment to CNN after he was asked what would happen if Iran was attacked by the U.S. and its allies. "I am making a very serious statement that we don't want war. We don't want to engage in a military confrontation. But we won't blink to defend our territory," Zarif told CNN in an interview. The United States has been discussing with Saudi Arabia and other Gulf allies possible responses to an attack on Saudi oil facilities on Saturday, which they blame on Iran, and which the U.S. Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, described as an act of war on the kingdom. Zarif had earlier warned on Twitter that what he described as the B-team, including Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, was deceiving U.S. President Donald Trump into a war against Iran. Zarif also said in a tweet on Thursday that Pompeo was trying to delay issuing visas for the Iranian delegation to the upcoming United Nations General Assembly.
Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez will present on Friday the report on the impact caused by the U.S. blockade over the past years. According to an announcement made by the foreign minister on Twitter, Rodriguez will disclose the content of the report to national and foreign media during a press conference announced for 10:30 local time, which will be carried live by the Cuba Minrex Facebook page. Every year, the report precedes a vote by the UN General Assembly on the Cuban-sponsored resolution on the necessity of ending the economic, commercial, and financial blockade imposed by the United States against Cuba. This is the 28th consecutive year in which the vote is held. The international community has overwhelmingly supported the island's resolution on its demand to see a lifting of the longest blockade ever imposed on a nation in contemporary history.
Venezuelan Vice President Delcy Rodriguez has welcomed Pastor Javier Bertucci, representing the party Hope for Change, who will join the Agreement of National Dialogue, which was signed earlier this week in hope of resolving the problems that caused the UN blockade against Venezuela. "The only thing we expect from the United States is to recover the path of dialogue with the government of Nicolas Maduro. They have only one way, dialogue and peaceful negotiation," said the Vice President in statements to the press. In a brief speech at the Venezuelan Foreign Ministry, together with Foreign Minister Jorge Arreaza, Rodriguez slammed opposition groups that want Venezuela to go astray. She reiterated that Venezuela does not want war. "The sector that today throws stones at the dialogue table is an isolated sector. The vast majority of Venezuelans are pleased with this initiative." The vice president said the sector that integrates and supports the agreement between the opposition and the government is the majority. She said the installation of the National Dialogue Table generates great satisfaction for the Venezuelan people.
And you've tuned to Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us here on the radio. You may be listening on the FM dial here in Havana at 102.5 FM. And, of course, our international shortwave radio frequencies heard around the world. Now let's go back over to our news.
In its efforts to diversify its exports to Russia, Cuba has just opened its first trade exhibition in Russia, during which cooperation and joint venture agreements will be signed. Orlando Hernandez Guillen, president of the Cuban Chamber of Commerce, told Prensa Latina that the exhibition is of great importance for bilateral trade, especially at a time when U.S. hostility toward the island is increasing. He added that the first national exhibition of Cuba in Russia, inaugurated Wednesday in Moscow, is vital because of the strategic importance of the island's trade relations with Russia. Hernandez Guillen noted that Russia is Cuba's second trading partner in Europe and is among its top 10 in the world.
Brazil's former president, Michel Temer, acknowledged that the impeachment of former president Dilma Rousseff, Workers' Party leader, was indeed a coup d'etat. During a TV interview watched by millions, the man who rules Brazil from August 2016 to December 2019 claimed that he never supported the coup, which led to the impeachment of Rousseff, a leftist economist who held the presidency from 2011 until her removal. "I never supported or committed to the coup," Temer confessed, and added that he tried to prevent the political trial against Dilma. Brazil's Congress opened a political trial against Dilma Rousseff in 2016 due to alleged irregular management of public accounts. After her departure from the presidency, she was replaced by her vice president, Michel Temer. On the TV interview, the 78-year-old politician tried to defend himself against accusations according to which he would have participated in the organization of several actions which led to Rousseff's dismissal. "I couldn't organize a coup because the government had gotten very bad," Temer said.
Cuba voiced concerned over the latest developments in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict with the announcement by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to impose Israeli sovereignty to the Jordan Valley and to the north of the Dead Sea in the occupied West Bank. In a statement, Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Anayansi Rodriguez-Camejo said that Cuba strongly condemns yet another serious violation of international law and of the purposes and principles of the UN Charter, which threatens to stimulate a new escalation against the Palestinian people, nullifying the possibility of any international effort for peace. The diplomat reiterated Cuba's unrestricted support for a comprehensive, just, and lasting solution to the Palestinian cause on the basis of the creation of two states with respect for the Palestinian right to self-determination and to an independent and sovereign state with pre-1967 borders and with East Jerusalem as its capital. The Cuban deputy minister called on the United Nations Security Council to fulfill its charter's responsibility for the maintenance of international peace and security.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the world was losing the race to avert climate disaster, but that greenhouse gas reduction targets were not out of reach yet. He was speaking during an interview with the Covering Climate Now coalition of media, which includes AFP, days before a UN Youth Climate Summit that will be followed by a meeting with world leaders where he will urge countries to raise their commitment set under the Paris Agreement. The landmark accord saw countries pledge to limit the long-term rise in the average temperature of the Earth to 2 degrees Celsius over pre-industrial levels and, if possible, to 1.5 degrees Celsius. "What I want is to have the whole of society putting pressure on governments to make governments understand they need to run faster because we are losing the race," he said, adding, "What the science tells us today is that these targets are still reachable." Guterres said that inaction by some key countries, including the United States, could be at least partly offset by action at the subnational level, for example, in the carbon neutral pledges made by the states of California and New York.
And those are some of the stories we're following for you this hour here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
Cuban president visits four eastern provinces.
Iran warns of all-out war if attacked by U.S. and allies.
Report on impact of U.S. blockade on Cuba will be released on Friday.
Another opposition party joins talks with Venezuelan government.